Brother Aldrich. I was shown that in Brother Aldrich's case, he has been labored with faithfully. His case was correctly stated in regard to the course he has pursued in reference to the office and institute. My husband felt to bring these things before Brother Aldrich from a sense of duty in the presence of his brethren who had confidence in him. He was not among enemies, nor in the presence of any who wished to injure him, but among those connected with him in the work, who had a perfect right to investigate all his course in connection with the work and cause of God. When errors were pointed out in regard to his management of matters in going forward upon his own judgment, without consulting his brethren, Brother Aldrich made no acknowledgments of the wrongs, which were made plain to all present. He would not humble his pride to say he had been wrong. This was too humiliating. The golden opportunity passed of his confessing his errors and in humility seeking to God for wisdom and imploring his guidance. I was pointed back and shown the cautions, warnings, and reproofs given for the benefit of Brother Aldrich through a previous vision. Yet he did not lay these things to heart and move fearfully and tremblingly before God. His failing to confess his wrongs when he has erred has been an injury to him and given Satan great advantage of him. He has not put up the bars behind him, and Satan has had access to him and blinded his eyes and perverted his judgment. Gently has the Lord warned, gently admonished, but a change has not been effected. Then the Lord laid the burden upon my husband, and matters were brought before Brother Aldrich, unveiled, that if he had been deceived, he could be deceived no longer. The right views were taken of his course, yet he was very unreconciled to this. His stubborn will was cherished, and the light was rejected. He refused to see his mistakes and errors, and Satan, I saw, was gaining greater power over his mind. As the last resort, the Lord gave the reproof, through vision, which is here given, to correct the errors of Brother Aldrich, because all other means had failed to accomplish the design of God. Brother Aldrich would not yield to the judgment of any living man. He has confidence in his ability and in his judgment. Brother Aldrich is not a man that is ready to confess an error. His proud spirit forbids him to yield to evidence presented which shows him in error. Had the first gentle admonition of error been regarded, and Brother Aldrich reformed, there would have been no necessity of the close remarks and plain laying out before Brother Aldrich by Brother White of his errors, and the simple facts as they were in the presence of his brethren. His proud spirit rose up against this, and then the Lord tests him a little closer, and shows Brother Aldrich himself as he views him. If he rejects this, and is not thoroughly reformed, darkness will cover him, and he will be fettered by the enemy. The rejection of light leaves men captives, bound by Satan. Never would Brother Aldrich have been left to move so blindly had he been willing to receive correction. He has taken responsibilities which his position does not warrant. Brother White, with his long experience, has not ventured to assume the responsibilities Brother Aldrich has with his little experience. Brother White counseled with his brethren in regard to every important move made. This was as God would have it. Men engaged in the same work should have a like interest, and all have just as deep an interest in the prosperity of the cause as Brother Aldrich, and some have greater interest because of their longer experience and connection with the work, yet they have not had a voice in the management of matters. Brother Aldrich has had a controlling influence. I saw in the last vision that the crisis has come, that things were going from bad to worse, and that God would suffer these things no longer to remain as they have done. I saw that Brother Aldrich has not learned the lessons heaven designed he should learn, and if he continued to pursue a course similar to that in the past, he would make shipwreck not only of himself, but of others. I was shown that the feelings of the church in Battle Creek, in regard to us, more than 1 year since, would not have been as strong had it not been for the course of Brother Abbey. The enemy wrought through him. He was far from being right. He talked from place to place and gave exaggerated statements. He was full of the spirit of the world, was in great spiritual darkness, and Satan made him an agent to perfect the work he had begun in Battle Creek. His influence brought about the state of things which led to our being regarded in a wrong light, and brought burdens upon us almost intolerable to be borne. His statements were, many of them, exaggerated. Some of them were false. Brother Abbey has not understood himself. He has possessed a spirit of exaltation. Money is power, and Brother Abbey has permitted his prosperity to be a snare to him. He is not humble, and prosperity is endangering his eternal interests. His heart is lifted up with pride, and the love of the world has eclipsed the value of the heavenly inheritance. Self-interest has occupied the heart. He has not had the soul called out and interested in the unfortunate, and in the poor who are not prepared to calculate and manage to acquire means. He is, in this respect, frequently pitiless. He has, in his experience, valued men and women and youth according to the capabilities of their muscles. If they could work diligently early and late, they were of value in his eyes. If they failed in this direction, they were considered by him about worthless.